Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Naruto's still not getting anything out of this.
Or is it still alive? Is this still...
No, because it's been...
What country are we talking about?
This is the United States of America.
Oh, Naruto lives here?
Oh, no, Naruto lives... What? I don't know where he lives.
Can you talk to Reginald about this?
Yeah. Careful with the language. He lives in Indonesia. He lives in Indonesia.
Can you talk to...
Naruto is in Indonesia.
Yes. Sulawesi.
Do you know what I usually say to people when I get them in Indonesia? I go, representative. Representative.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty, we're live at Chatter. We're at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Jennifer Streets Northwest, in the District of Columbia, in the Friendship Heights section. And we have breakfast on now, not tomorrow, because we're not here tomorrow. We have breakfast on now. We have a good crowd. We have good food here. The management team of Ron and Elizabeth has said to me, could you stress that we have good food? And we are going to rebrand ourselves, essentially, I think, as sort of a neighborhood saloon. I like the word saloon.
Yeah, sure.
We have a very beautiful and good bar, and we have unpretentious, unexpensive, unadorned.
Approachable.
Yeah, good food.
Yes. We need swinging for everyone.
Doors. That's what, well, then we should get swinging doors. But we need to, I need to get some people in here, and I'm stressing the fact that we're good. Okay, we're good.
By the way, the brickwork, at least at the first, what I consider to be the main entrance, has come a long way since I was here Tuesday, looking very nice.
This is Bob Swartz in Toledo, Ohio, says, please read on May 8th.
Okay.
It's not May 8th. Why do I have this in my hand today? He also sent a million things to sign, including this email.
People can call their shots now on when the emails are read.
We're going to read it now.
Please read this in the first email section.
Could you come to my husband's birthday party?
Yeah, we don't want to sit on things for weeks because...
We don't know if we're going to be here.
Right, and we might forget. Chances are I will forget
about it. Tony and I could be dead.
Chinese space station could land on us.
So if you're reading this on May 8th, then I will be listening to you on my 50th birthday. Happy birthday. Enjoying the last of a two-week vacation on... K-A-U-I? Kauai in Hawaii? I'm not familiar with Hawaiian geography.
Yeah,
with a woman with whom I'm related by marriage. That is assuming we haven't been sucked out a plane window, eaten by sharks, or buried under torrential rains. I've been a loyal little since the Dan Davis and Phil the Show Killer days. Back then, you had a fun little radio show, and I used stolen milk crates for bedroom furniture. Now you have a wildly successful podcast and restaurant. Thank you so much. And I have furniture made out of wood. What a life we're living, huh? Knowing full well the spirit of the show, I cannot just ask that you and the gang wish me a happy birthday and sign the enclosed copy of Back for More Cash, which I did. The loose collection of stories that inspired the hit CBS series Listen Up, which should still be on the air, given what is on the air now. I've included two gifts for the prize vault, which we've just given out. And I've done that. And please ask Nigel to pass them around and describe them as you see fit. Well, we're not doing show and tell here. We're not doing that. So that's what we're doing. Now I have to sign this and return this, and I've done that.
Yes.
Also, we have a tremendous amount of math teachers here today. I guess that there's a math teacher conference.
Is there a math teacher conference?
As I said, we are an English teacher family, not a math teacher family.
Here.
And this comes from Greg Trieste in Dallas, Texas. One of my favorite pieces of information for life is all I want for Father's Day is to play golf on Mother's Day. In much the same vein, I have chosen to spend today my wedding anniversary here at Chatter having breakfast with my boss, Tim Trapp, of Tubec, Arizona. I'm hoping that my lovely bride, Ann, will allow us to celebrate our anniversary this weekend when I return home. To keep her in my heart today, I'm ordering two breakfasts and will eat and, more importantly, pay for them both. I'm hoping you will sign this note assuring my wife that Chatter is indeed a for-profit restaurant and my presence here was very much needed. Yes.
Well, but I hate to tell his wife that he's not here with his boss.
No, that was that's
somebody,
right.
There's some woman with some sitting
hot
woman.
Yeah. He's here with a hot woman. Gene McManus is here. Gary Braun is here. Gary has brought his twins to work today, right?
Well, I brought them here. I mean, I'm taking them to work later.
Oh,
yeah,
to real work.
This
we could
fun.
Use some help in the kitchen prepping for lunch.
Yeah, Spike and Ike are here.
Yeah, why don't they just go and do some
they
dishwashing?
They could go mince some onions.
I'm sure they look very bored already, so I'm sure they'd be happy to do something.
Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will run the board. Nigel will do the news. We will do that. Chuck Todd will be with us later to comment on the notion that the President
Sleepy
of the United
eyed Chuck
States
Todd, just to clarify.
Have called him Sleepy-Eyed Chuck Todd.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike Freeman will be with us later. I don't want to say the draft has snuck up on us because only Valentine's Day and Mother's Day really sneaks up on
here.
You.
Yes.
But the draft has been submerged to some degree by all of the NBA stuff. And so we will start with the NBA stuff in order to me of importance, which puts the Wizards third at the moment, not even second or first. Importance number one is LeBron James. LeBron James, at the end of the game, blocked Victor Oladipo's drive to the basket. Victor Oladipo was 2 for 15, which does not befit an all-star and does not befit a DeMatha grad. LeBron blocked a shot. Oladipo complained that it was goaltending. So what? Mm. You know, you're in Cleveland and LeBron made a great play.
I mean, it was, by definition, it was.
Yeah, LeBron made a great play. And by the way, if you get the basket, it's a two-shot. It's 2 points.
Right.
And then LeBron comes back and hits a three.
And even, by the way, even more dramatically than that.
I stayed up and watched that.
Okay, well, then you saw before the block shot, LeBron actually turned it over.
Yeah.
You know,
LeBron also jumped up on the table, a la John Wall, to be champion, in this case, of Game 5.
Game 5 win.
But the difference is he has rings.
Yes.
Okay. John Wall does not have any rings and is only champion
that
in Game 6.
I want to try that move in the kitchen. Like, jump up onto the counter so I can reach the high shelf.
Move the cutting board first. You don't ever want to put the bottom of your shoes on the cutting board.
I would suggest that at our age, you get a running start and you have some sort of a trampoline effect.
Yeah, there you go.
So this is, you can't be the champion of Game 5. LeBron knows that because he's been champion of Game 7. So he understands that, which others don't. That was the most significant thing. And, you know, I know that everybody thinks that Cleveland's going to win this series. There's no evidence that they're going to win this series. There's none. Indiana can go home and win, and then Indiana can come back to Cleveland where they have won. They won game one.
Yeah.
You know, I hope LeBron wins.
I mean, there's really no evidence.
No.
And I say this as a fan. It's going to come off as a hater, but there's no evidence that Cleveland is the better team.
No.
I mean, again, it's like...
They have the best player.
You have LeBron James and whoever might want to step it up that night. Kevin Love has been...
Kyle Korver was good last night.
Yeah, Korver was good last night.
J.R. Smith, not so good. Others, not so good. Oklahoma City down 25 in the third quarter. Made it up in the third quarter. Russell Westbrook and Playoff P. Paul George.
Playoff Pete.
Russell Westbrook.
At the end of that game, Billy Donovan said, this really doesn't mean much. It doesn't mean that we have any momentum. We have to do this again and again and so on and so forth, because they were down 3-1 in this series. But to me, because of who Utah is, Utah's not an experienced playoff team. Utah has no stars. Utah has nothing where you'd say, wow, you know, they'll come back from that. This feels like that series is over four. Doesn't it, Gary? Feels like Oklahoma City to me.
You know, as we talked about when I was here with you Tuesday, Utah 29-6.
I get it.
To close the season. And
you got to close
that. And before that gag, looking like they were moving
25
on.
25 in the third.
By the way, I had a theory that was just Playoff P wanting to make you eat it like you had to eat it once on Dwayne Wade.
That's so it's possible.
Like, and he strikes me as the kind of guy who could do it once and be like, there, I did it, and then just revert.
Russell Westbrook is the guy to do it, and I never say Russell Westbrook can't.
And he gets that look in his eye, and then you just think, he's going to do
that's
it.
Right.
I mean, he was unstoppable.
That is a comeback. That is preposterous in the playoffs for that to happen.
Well, it's also preposterous.
Make it up in the same quarter.
It's also preposterous to be down 24 at home in a game 5.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would agree with you in the sense that you would think game 6 is Utah's last best chance.
Well, they have zero chance in game 7 at Oklahoma City. They have zero chance in that. The Washington Wizards, in a game that doesn't even basically make SportsCenter, it's not even on at all. I watched the Washington Wizards last night. They were on NBA TV, but not really, not here. They were on Comcast 2 and Comcast 1.
I went out and I recorded it on NBA TV, so I
came back. This is the Wizards folded
just had
late.
The blue screen. Two hours of blue screen.
There was a 15-point swing in the last 5 minutes of that game. The Wizards were up 5 and they ended up losing by 10. They are similar teams. They are backcourt-oriented teams. They are whiny teams. Last night, a slight edge went to DeRozan and Lowry because of John Wall has very good numbers, except for the fact that he had 7 turnovers and he couldn't guard DeRozan. He didn't even attempt, and he was matched with DeRozan, not Lowry. He was matched with DeRozan for most of DeRozan's points, and he didn't even stay in front of him, did he?
Yeah, I mean, his numbers were impressive on paper. I don't think you can say someone had good numbers when they have 7 turns in a playoff.
No.
Game.
I mean, and Bradley Beal had 3, so their backcourt turned it over 10 times. That's too much
in a
playoff game. It's not the worst of all time, but it's not good in a playoff game. It's just not.
Not to mention Otto Porter.
Who's not there.
Who's not there.
Otto Porter, a max player, is not there. Georgetown's own is not
there.
he's not there. I thought Toronto was going to fold. I said this on TV yesterday, too. I thought the Wizards were going to. I was Going into the fourth quarter, I was completely confident the Wizards were going
to win
that
game. They looked
like
the better team.
They did to me.
Yeah.
There are no front court threats, but neither does the other team.
Well, Gortat getting rebounds.
Yeah.
I mean, he's getting rebounds.
Well, Valanciunas gets, you know, yeah. I mean, they, yeah. you know, they cancel,
they
each,
cancel
other
each other
out.
But from
that's the guards. Who's going to be better?
From the Wizards' perspective, I mean, this is game five. They don't really show up until game six, right? That's the game that matters.
Well,
for
they,
them.
They can win game
that's
six in
God's
Washington
game.
And jump up. Yeah, point God. Don't even
they
don't write
win
that.
The
please
next
don't
two
write
games.
That. Please.
They cannot win the next
Wizards. The Wizards were plagued by both the inability to hit shots, coupled with the inability to stop anyone down the stretch is bad. But the Wizards deal. The Wizards down six with about 2 minutes left. That's an eternity in the NBA.
Yeah,
you're not
yeah.
on that game by
oh,
any means.
Oh yeah, it's nothing.
They had a horrible possession that ended up with a terrible 3-point. They seem to lack. And maybe this is just a function of experience, but they don't seem to be as composed as some of these other more experienced teams to me down the stretch. I mean, there seems to be like a little bit of a panic sets in, a little bit of a rush, a little bit of a bad shot.
Okay,
I mean,
when you say other more experienced teams, the Wizards are an experienced team.
Well,
the
other
starting
more successful
five
teams,
on that team has been together at least 3 years, yeah. and many of them 5 years.
Yeah.
They are an experienced team.
Well, you know what? They are experienced, but they do not have multiple playoff successes to
yeah,
draw from.
You're talking about having like something like
Toronto. And Toronto does? Toronto's
no,
a total get, gag
know.
Squad.
Yeah.
No,
total
I,
gag
so,
squad.
But you mean when like Paul Pierce was there as the sort of like veteran
yes.
champion presence
that's
to sort
an,
of come
this is a
Wilbon point.
Point. Wilbon makes this point all the time that they lack that one person who
the
was
in
Wilbon's mind is always Dwayne Wade, the greatest human being on the face of the earth. Dwayne Wade
no, is from Chicago.
It's always Dwayne Wade because he's from Chicago. Yeah. Wilbon doesn't even count the fact that when he played in Chicago, it was miserable. And then he played in Cleveland and they said, please get rid of this guy.
Right,
even
away.
Though he's LeBron's best friend, please get rid of this guy. He's sucking the air out of the room. And he went to Miami. Wilbon, that is a part of history.
It's irrelevant.
That is completely ignored. Houston won a non-entity series. Houston beat Minnesota. There was no series at all. Minnesota was happy to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then it was like, let's go fishing, you know, or whatever we do.
One, two, three, Cancun.
As
Wilbon said in the team huddle.
That's all that was about. So you have like three series left? Are there three or there four left? Is there another one left that I'm missing?
Well, Celtics-Milwaukee.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the fourth one.
Yeah.
That's the fourth one. So something will be on television tonight, and we will be able to watch that. It has completely, I think, precluded the is precluded the right word?
Overshadowed?
Or the NFL draft.
Feels like it.
Superseded.
So, but I'll tell you where the bread is buttered, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The PTI show today will be on ESPN2.
The deuce.
It will be on ESPN2 because there will be day draft special. You know, and
no
then the
Caps Pens preview.
No Caps Pens preview. Nothing.
And you're releasing your mock draft later this afternoon, right?
No, I'm releasing my mock draft next Monday.
Well, that's probably more.
That will be my mock draft. Will be next Monday. We'll talk about the draft later.
Caps or draft for you tonight, Mr. Tony?
Neither, right?
Oh no, we're gonna watch. I think I'll go back and forth.
See the draft, I just need the pick and then 60 seconds of analysis. I don't need the 10, 12, 15 minutes in between. So I won't have
what
trouble.
What are these noises?
Around.
Were there noises?
There's people here.
No.
Human
it sounded
beings.
Like it sounded like computer generated noises. Yeah, it's Gary.
Oh, it's Gary.
It's Gary's computer.
Very good
Gary,
ears.
Gary, give me a computer.
Yeah.
All right. Back in the class.
We'll get out of here. We will come back. Mike Freeman.
That's
right. Bleacher Report, and he will talk about the draft. Because somebody has to, and I can't. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
All right, this is the Sonos ad, and it's spelled backwards. It's Sonos.
Oh, yes.
The Sonos Play
Not only
base,
backwards, if you turn it upside down.
It's still Sonos.
Still
yeah.
Sonos.
The
yes.
Sonos Play Base will put you at the center of all your favorite TV shows and movies. Plus, it plays music, so you can go from watching the game to blasting your victory song. The new Sonos One blends great sound with Amazon Alexa. So you can use voice to control music, podcasts, and more. Just ask. Michael, I have the Play Bar.
You have the Play
Base. Which you
base.
Set up. The Play Base?
Yes, so I set this up for your TV.
Explain what you did.
I opened the box. I plugged in two cords. I downloaded an app. Boom.
I could have opened the box. I wouldn't have been able to do
anything
else.
The funny thing
is
that sounds as complicated to you as it sounded easy to everyone else.
Right.
Well, actually,
it?
The most complicated piece was turning off the internal speakers of your television so that the Playbase can take over.
So it says, how has the Playbase changed the way you and your family enjoy TV? I don't know, but it seems that the sound is richer and fuller. That's, so I like that, but changed? You know, I still stand up at the sink and eat ice cream, so it has, and I still watch TV that way.
Right.
That's what I do. What do you think about being able to control music with your voice? I like that idea, because I can say to Alexa, Alexa, play the Beach Boys.
And play it loud.
Yeah. And I no, I'll let her play it the way she wants to at first, and I'll say a little bit louder, please, and a little bit louder now, and a little bit louder now, and a little bit louder now.
Shout.
Are there any special moments with friends or family that you've had while listening with Sonos? No, because I'm alone. No, I have no friends.
I catch Liz playing music through Alexa when she's feeding Walkman and she doesn't know I'm listening.
And that's great.
And bringing out like 90s pop hits.
Good, that's good. So Sonos is offering the listeners of this high-quality podcast, the Tony Kornheiser Show, 10% off one order of $2,500 or less for any product on Sonos.com. That's 10% off.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Legit. Good deal.
This offer is available for a limited time only and cannot be combined with other discounts or promotions. Use the promo code, and this gets complicated,
all right,
because it's Tony 10, capital T-O-N-Y 10. That's how I have to do it. All caps on Tony, then 10 at Sonos, S-O-N-O-S.com to receive this offer.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the band Ghoul School, G-H-O-U-L, Ghoul School. They're from Sacramento, California. Sacramento, California figures into a news story later,
yes,
because that's where they found the Golden State Killer. Is that what they were called?
Yes, Golden State Killer,
among
yes,
other things.
He's had several names, but that's
this is called Dog Song, and we like, well, we like every band.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
No, because they're good.
I have a particular soft spot in my heart for Ghoul School. Zach Wheaton, the drummer, sends us in all kinds of great stuff. I just love these guys.
That's great. Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report joins us now, and Freeman is going to give our draft preview at the moment, something that we haven't really done a lot of on this show, and because, as you know, Freeman Wilbon's complete antipathy to the NFL, if you even bring up the notion that there is a draft, Wilbon starts screaming about how terrible everything is with the NFL and how we should all be watching the 3-1 game between Houston and Minnesota, a game that nobody wants to see. So he's your account, Freeman. You're going to have to change him. He's your account. Let's start go ahead.
Mike loves the NFL. You know that.
No.
He loves it.
The Bears.
He loves the Bears.
The Bears.
Exactly, yeah.
Loves the Bears. So let's start with what we've been inundated with over the last X number of months is the notion that for the first time in a long time, there are a lot of good quarterbacks, all of whom, five will probably go in the first round, and there are all of these compare and contrast. So the number one pick actually becomes exciting, and I don't know that anyone knows from the outside what the Browns are going to do. What is your best guess as to what the Browns do with one? And it would thrill me if you said trade it. It would just thrill me.
Tony, this is one of those years where it's hard to tell what's going to happen at the top of the draft because you hit on something. There are a lot of good quarterbacks,
yep,
but there's no one guy that you go, that guy is going to be fantastic. And that's why this top of the draft is going to be very, very interesting and a little bit crazy because teams, obviously, they need quarterbacks and they want to fill that position. But a lot of these teams just aren't crazy about a lot of these quarterbacks. So I still think you're going to see Sam Darnold up there. But there's increasing talk that they're going to pick Baker Mayfield.
Right.
Number one, which to me I wouldn't understand, but it's looking very possible that Baker Mayfield goes number one, and then you go from there. I don't think they're going to trade out of it. I think they're going to keep it, but it's going to be a pretty wild situation early on.
There was a story yesterday out of MMQB. That the new general manager, John's last name at Cleveland? Well, whatever, it doesn't matter what his name is. He's the new general manager. He inherited the head coach, Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson's record with Cleveland is 1-31. And the story was that the general manager, who I think had come over from Kansas City.
John Dorsey.
John Dorsey.
John Dorsey.
Okay.
John Dorsey.
That John Dorsey knew who he was going to pick and had not told the head coach. And what he said was, well, I haven't told my wife either. And what I said was, your wife's not coaching the team. Yeah. Okay?
Not,
there is no, there's no way to look at this, to me, Mike, there's no way to look at this other than he either doesn't value you Jackson's input or he doesn't trust you, Jackson, to keep this quiet. This looks to me like a terrible start to this relationship. Please tell me if you disagree with any part of that.
No, I don't. I would say my understanding is that he has finally told you who he's going to pick, finally. But the one thing I would say is Hugh does talk a lot and to a lot of different people. So John was worried Hugh was just going to blab the pick, but it's not a good sign for you. And
well, neither is 1-31, actually.
Right. No, exactly. I mean, I would expect Hugh Jackson to be gone at the end of the season, if not before, yeah. And then you're going to see John bring in his guy. That's usually the way it works, and I'm actually surprised he brought Hugh back to begin with.
That probably it feels like pressure from the ownership, doesn't it? It feels like the ownership said, let's just not do this now.
Yeah, and that owner's a bit of a clown, too.
Yes,
yeah.
Haslam,
so
yes.
It's like it's a total screwed-up situation there. But I will say this, Tony, they can – I know this is going to bring out a chuckle or two, but the Browns can actually kind of get this right because they got the first and the fourth pick.
They've got four. Yeah, they've got four.
I mean, they can actually walk away with – some really good players. Even for the Browns, it would be hard to screw this up. Even for them, you get the first pick and the fourth pick. It's hard to even for them screw that up.
Well, the only thing I could think of is they end up with two quarterbacks. You know, that the running back Barkley is gone, that somebody else is gone, that other quarterbacks are on the board, that they're not convinced that the one they take at one is the best, so they take quarterbacks at 1 and 4. And in that case, Mike, I would say, what are they doing?
That's crazy.
Do you have some sense of what they at 4?
Well, I know what they want to do. What they ultimately want to do is somehow get Sam Darnold and somehow get Barkley, the running back out of Penn State.
Right.
I think ultimately that's what they want to do. But the NFL is so stodgy, maybe understandably so, and about taking a running back first overall. It's why it hasn't been done in so long.
Right.
Because you can get them in different – but ultimately they want to get some combination of that. So – and that could happen, but they'd have to take Barkley first, and then they could get one of the quarterbacks at 4. And that also could happen. And this goes to my point, Tony, about we don't know right now where exactly these guys are. No one really, barely Hugh Jackson knows what they're going to do, and he's the coach.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't. They're keeping this very close to the vest, and that top part could just be there could be a lot of trades. Teams could be pulling back. It's going to be really, really frenetic, I think, in those first couple of picks.
The five quarterbacks that are considered, well, certainly four are considered locks to go in the first round, and Lamar Jackson may well go in the first round as well. They are Lamar Jackson, who won a Heisman Trophy, and Baker Mayfield, who won a Heisman Trophy, and Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold, and the kid Josh Allen from the University of Wyoming. If you had to bet, and I'm making you do this, what order do you think those quarterbacks will go in?
Oh, wow. Okay.
See if you get five right.
I would say Darnold, Mayfield, Josh Allen, Rosen, Jackson, something like that. Now, the guy to watch out for here in this whole thing is Lamar Jackson. He has been really, really rising steadily. Teams that have been speaking to him recently, especially within the last couple of weeks, have been very impressed with him, and the Patriots love him. So watch out for the Patriots doing something to get him, but they can probably wait. But he is one of the more intriguing guys in this draft because he would take a couple of years, and it would have to be like a lot of situations. You have to go to the right place with a coach that is creative and not afraid, like what they did in Philly. You know, just really take your quarterback and match your quarterback to the playbook instead of forcing the quarterback to fit something you want to do. And if he goes through a situation like that, he could be really, really good. And a lot of teams think that. A lot of teams think he may be, because of his potential, the best quarterback in this draft. I think he's the best quarterback in the draft, too. So he's going to be someone to watch. And Mayfield is going to be, I mean, if he goes number one overall, which is increasingly possible, that will be one of those picks that we look back at 5 years and go, that was either just a stroke of genius or that was just add another name to that quarterback, Browns quarterback jersey.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be really interesting to watch at the top there. I think Lamar Jackson and Mayfield are two of the real key cogs in this draft.
So you think that it's possible the Patriots, who have moved up already a little bit, the Patriots could take Lamar Jackson? This is what I would ask. They have spent 15 years at least with a quarterback who stylistically is very different than Lamar Jackson, and you have to fashion an offensive line around the quarterback that you have. This would be a tremendous, and it has to happen sometime with Brady, of course, but this would be a tremendous upheaval in terms of style. You know? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just not how the Patriots are built.
But look at how that position has evolved in those 15 years.
Right.
I mean, what you wanted out of a QB when Brady started was a lot more than I think if you were drawing up a prototypical QB, what he would look like now.
Well, but Brady is still the best.
Indeed.
Still the best.
Indeed.
Go ahead, Mike.
Here's what I would say is that Belichick, one of the best things about him as a coach are not his press conferences.
No, it isn't.
But how he adapts. He's a very adaptive, nimble coach. That's why he spends so much time around colleges. He's always around like Urban Meyer and the Alabama coach, Nick Saban, and he's always on the college level looking at what they do. And also the NFL is starting to really, you're seeing more and more quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson come through. And I think Belichick looks at him and goes, I can work with that. I can adapt. I can change. He's a great athlete. He's a better pocket passer than people want to give him credit for. I can make that work, and I can have a really good, devastating weapon, and I'll adjust to him.
Mm-hmm.
The same way Belichick has done this before his whole career. He coaches one way. He gets one set of players, he changes. He gets another set of players, he changes. So I don't think that's a big deal. It would just be do you risk taking someone that high that in the first round who is so raw? But I think they see the talent there.
Where does Dez Bryant end up?
That's a great question. And one of the things that I had heard for months was how the league, I always thought Dez Bryant had a lot left in him, but across the league there was great skepticism about that, and you're seeing some of that. There isn't that much interest in him. I still think there's a good chance he ends up in the NFC East. He ends up in some place playing the Cowboys twice a year.
He turned down a 3-year deal with Baltimore. And the one thing you would say about Joe Flacco is he can throw a deep ball. I mean, that seemed like a good fit, and he turned it down.
He's taking a chance on himself. He wants a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
And he wants – so, I mean, I congratulate him for that. And, I think there's a lot left there for him. But where he ends up, I don't know. I don't think anything will be solved before the draft. I think it'll all get sorted out after the draft.
All right. We'll get you out of here on this. What happens to the kickoff?
Oh, eventually it's going to be gone.
How soon?
It's going to I think the league wants it gone now. They see it as twofold. They see it as a genuine safety issue, but they also see it privately as a PR issue. They're trying to clean up both the physical part of the game, make it safer, but also how it looks. They know that there's people watching football who are uncomfortable with watching that sort of violence now that there's more understanding of what it does. So the league knows this, and the league is going to take every step possible to make the game more visually appealing to people who don't necessarily want to see all that violence. And the kickoff is one of those things. And they think it's a dangerous play, and they want to get rid of it. And I think they're going to get rid of it as soon as they can.
What's stopping them?
They're meeting some resistance. They're meeting resistance from players. Players don't want to get rid of it. It's jobs. You know, it's like...
Well, they're not getting rid of the punt. I mean, you know, you're still going to have special teams. No?
Yes, you will, but the kickoff is just more dangerous.
I know. I would get rid of it now. And I would say to Demora Smith, how can you fight this? You test our sincerity on player safety. We're doing this. How can you fight this?
What would you do at the end of games? It changes fundamentally at the end of games. No onside kick. What happens after a score?
Don't know. I don't know.
That's key.
That's all the stuff they're
I don't know.
Debating.
But I know an onside kick is not a kickoff. It you don't have time to have the violent collision.
So you could just call and say we're going to onside kick?
I don't know what you could do. Yeah. I don't know. Thank you, Mike.
Nope. All right, Tony.
Talk to you soon. Mike Freeman, boys and girls. We'll take a break. When we come back, Nigel will do the news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Blue Apron read. For 6 weeks, from April 16th, and that's already passed, through May 21st, Blue Apron is teaming with Airbnb to bring you the best home cooking from around the world. Each week, our menu will feature a recipe developed in collaboration with an Airbnb Experiences host like Cece. I think it's pronounced Cece, a chef from Shanghai who makes incredible Kung Pao chicken, a beloved sticky, saucy mix of saucy. I love that. Saucy mix of crispy brown chicken and vegetables. Blue Apron delivers fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door that can be cooked in under 45 minutes. The menu changes every week based on what's in season and is designed by Blue Apron's in-house culinary team. Blue Apron offers 12 new recipes each week, and customers can pick 2, 3, or 4 recipes based on what best fits their schedule. And Blue Apron sends only non-GMO ingredients and meat with no added hormones. And they want me to talk about my personal experience with Blue Apron, which is all good.
Yeah, you love it.
I do. I like it very much. I'm not the biggest Kung Pao chicken guy in the world, but I would certainly try that.
That is my favorite
because they
Chinese
said it was
dish.
Sticky and saucy.
You love saucy.
Saucy the sea dog.
That's the sequel to Salted Sea Cat, yes.
That would be great. And they point out that some of the best parts of your day happen over dinner, and you can share that perspective while you're cooking everything for dinner. Go ahead.
Is Chessie a big help when you prepare these meals?
Chessie is an enormous help.
Scrap vacuum, I imagine.
Actually, she's got great knife skills.
Yeah, if there are rats in the house, Chessie eats them. And there haven't been so far, so we think Chessie's doing a good job. Check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free at blueapron.com/TonyK. That's for listeners of this show. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a band called Sauce, and I have been handed a letter that I will read verbatim. This is the Sauce read. This is to be read by Mr. Dr. Kornheiser only. Failure to do so will forfeit any future Saliza seats for Sauce events given to the bigs. Read these lines with conviction. Wine tyrant of tongue law? This is the song tyrant of ear law, and I decree that Sauce is the end-all, be-all, best band I've ever heard. Sauce's beautiful sound makes the Beach Boys sound like they play on Hasbro instruments. I actually wish I could think of a stronger word than love to describe my feelings about this music. Sauce makes Springsteen sound like... Wait, is Liz there? Never mind. Now tell the audience about your personal experience with Sauce. Tell them about all the shows you've been to and how you actually stayed till the end. Tell them about Michael's ongoing negotiations with our people regarding the sale of Sauce merchandise on the website. And finally, about your eager anticipation for the release of our debut album, which will be out this summer. Finally, we ask that you compliment the song playing in the background. Try to make this feel natural. Say things like, this is really, really good. And give me a box of that. Oh, and say facebook.com/saucyband like 15 times. You're the best, Mr. Tony. Who sent this?
Brilliant.
It's brilliant.
It's also written, like laid out like copy.
It's brilliant.
Nice bullet points.
And can I say how much I like this song? It's got a real blues
soul. It's good.
I believe that is sent to us by Kyle Jenkins. Oh, no, but yeah, Kyle, nicknamed Boomer Jenkins.
So, Michael, if people like Sauce want to send us original music that is this good, How do they do it?
Send your music into the show by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And besides the fabulous $12 Chatter t-shirts available here.
Wait a minute, $12?
Available here in Chatter. Are we selling anything else?
Yeah, check out the Reset the Board to Zero Nigel shirts available at shop.tonykornheiser.com.
And
the TK Show tumblers, now that it's officially spring.
It is officially spring. It has been officially spring for a while, but it feels like winter.
I saw 80 on the extended.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah. Oh, and before we get to news, a quick amateur golf update. The Coleman Invitational is happening over the next 3 days down at Seminole in Juneau Beach, and I wanna wish the show friends well. Sean Barrett, one of my teammates out of Penn who plays out of San Fran Golf Club in Bel Air, and the great Jack Vardeman.
The great Jack Vardeman plays
in
that.
Jimmy Dunn are playing in the Jimmy senior Dunn. Division.
Yeah. Is Sam Reeves playing in that?
He is not.
Okay. Wow, so that's good. Why aren't you playing in that?
Oh, this is a premier amateur event. I am a C-level player.
Okay. Well, you're my favorite.
So you don't
player.
Play in the mountains?
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah. All right. I play team events.
And I would also point out, if you're interested in doing a podcast, you can contact us through tonykornheisershow.com.
But mostly, you know what we want? Mostly, we want you to come in here.
Yeah.
We want you to come in here and sample the food and sample the drink. Here's the deal. During the summer, beginning in, well, certainly in July and August, but in the summer months, we're going to try at least once a week to do a night podcast.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
After PTI. We're going to try and sit here and do the regular podcast, not a special podcast, the regular daily podcast here in the evening. And hopefully people will want to come and see, like they come see for breakfast, and they'll want to order food and drink, and that will be good. And my daughter has said, why don't you do Tony Tuesdays? And I said, you know,
Tuesdays with Tony.
On Tuesdays. I'm Lori, right?
Tuesdays I'm Lori. So, but I mean, maybe we'll be able to do this.
Maybe.
Yes. I forgot about that,
Mr. Tony. We will start off with baseball. It has not been, or I should say, it had not been
very,
a great
very good.
West Coast swing for the Washington Nationals.
No.
Yet they finished up in strong fashion, beating the San Francisco Giants 15-2. Trey Turner five to two
would have been fine if the next game they play. You know, they get one run, you're going to say, well, they wasted
spread
the
it runs. Out a little bit.
Here's what is important to say about this. Max Scherzer is the toughest guy they've got.
He stops all losing streaks.
Yeah.
Does anybody else stop losing streaks? No, Max Scherzer is 5-1. He had 10 Ks yesterday, a 1.62 ERA on the year. He's it.
He is Hamlet when he's on the mound.
Yeah.
I mean,
he owns almost half of their wins.
Yeah, I mean, that they don't have any. Trey Turner, great. Trey Turner went 5-6.
Was their leading?
Andrew Stevenson, who they just brought
Stevenson
up,
is the bigger story.
He was their leading hitter going into yesterday.
Stevenson's playing left field. Good. They need a left
Stevenson
fielder.
Stevenson looks like a ball player. He's got the short pants, the way with the high leg kick. He looks like he should play for the Cardinals.
They need a left. They don't have a left fielder. Okay, Jason Worth is gone from the team. Howie Kendrick played a little bit left.
He's
Ryan
fine.
Goodwin. But they need an everyday left fielder. Maybe this is the guy. Maybe. I don't know.
Could they move Willem Dafoe out there to left field?
Of course they could do that.
Isn't that who plays second for
them? Yeah, Willem Dafoe.
Yes. Mr. Tony, we'll go to hockey now. The Boston Bruins trailed a
We have some Canadians in the audience today, so I know
Anybody
they're going
to... Toronto?
I don't know that we have Toronto. Yes, Toronto.
One.
Yes,
Toronto. That was one applaud. What's the single for...
applaud.
An applaud.
It was literally...
Yeah.
Sound of one hand
like
clapping.
So
Maple Leafs were leading 4-3 in Boston.
And lost.
And the Bruins scored 4. This was a thrilling game. For as long as I was able to stay awake, it was a back-and-forth game. Michael, you actually watched a lot of this.
I started watching this because the Bruins goalie, Rask, I think his name is.
Took a rest.
Finish, I believe.
He is finished. He let in 4 goals quickly. And this was a
high-scoring
game. So you don't know what Boston team you're going to get in the next round, but that was a thrilling game.
So I know about this because we talked about this yesterday on the air. Toronto, they're an original six team. So is Boston. So is Boston. Canada has 7 different teams in the NHL. They invented it. They got 7 of the 30. Only 2 made the playoffs this year, Winnipeg and Toronto. Winnipeg has advanced, but Toronto is... You know, they're an original six team. They have the longest drought in the league for winning a championship. Their last championship was 1967. Their last time to the finals was 1967. I had no idea. I thought Toronto was a contender all the time.
They've had
the NHL expanded, when they went from 6 to 12, those teams came in after 1967, I believe. And many of them, if not all, well, not all of them have won. Well, maybe of the next six, maybe they all have won, for all I know. But this team hasn't. Toronto hasn't. So I was rooting for Toronto. I was.
I just would like to give a plug for the bloke who does the national anthem for the Boston Bruins, about a guy by the name of Rene Rancourt. Have you ever seen him?
I'm sure I have.
It's fantastic. He's got like a gold, you know, bow tie and a waistcoat, and it's just, he's terrific. He retired this year, so he's only going to be doing this for as long as the Bruins are still alive.
Well, they're still alive.
Yes, great fun to watch that. I know you talked about the NFL draft with Mike Freeman. You did not touch upon what the Redskins will do.
I have no idea.
I have it on good authority that they are selecting a player by the name of Harvest Fest with the 13th pick.
Okay, that would be good.
Yeah, there you go. And now we will go to Golden State, Sacramento.
Will you just explain this? I have no memory of this. Of someone called the Golden State Killer.
I am on this.
Go ahead, talk
Nancy
about
Drew here.
Yes. Okay. Take it away, Nancy.
I have been, first of all, I was obsessed with this when it first started, you know, years ago, but there is a podcast now that I listen to called Unmasking a Killer. And this podcast has, prior to this guy's arrest, has just tracked everything that this guy has done. I mean, he started off sort of as a peeping Tom and then began to break into houses and assault people. And he was extremely aggressive. Like, there was one guy who once saw him at peeping in a window at his wife. And I think the guy maybe was a police officer himself. And he ran out after the guy and chased him. And he said this guy was incredibly fit, was like jumping 10-foot fences. And this guy tried to keep up with him and lost him. And then the guy goes to another neighborhood while the police are at this original spot and assaults
like
a
woman. Like that night, you mean?
That night. Wow. And assaults a woman there and then comes back to this original house and like leaves a note that says something like, I am watching you.
Yeah, he would
if
troll.
If you ever try to track me down again, you know, you don't know what's going to happen to your family. I mean, he
and
was...
And he would call people after assaulting
him. Yes.
He didn't just... wasn't just peeping Tom. He murdered people.
Yes,
and
he murdered
people.
Yes.
He started...
Killed at least 12 people, that they're saying, yes.
So I was watching the Today Show this morning, and they brought on Megyn Kelly, who I guess is an expert on this particular story to some degree.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And she said that... they didn't have the guy who they have arrested.
Oh, yes.
And charged with the crimes was not on their radar at all this past week.
Yeah, they got some DNA.
Until this past week.
Yes.
Yeah, there's some DNA evidence that the police obtained that apparently pointed him straight to this bloke whose name is 72-year-old Joseph James D'Angelo.
Who was himself a former police officer.
Yes, that's right. And but he had not
Do
been on
we
the radar.
Believe this? I mean, if I was his lawyer, I would say, are you kidding me with this?
They're not saying. They say,
My guy's lived
DNA don't
peacefully.
Lie.
I need more information on the DNA. I'm not kidding. Go listen to this podcast, Unmasking a Killer.
Is it different people each time, or is it just the Golden State?
No, it's just the Golden State. But there's other podcasts that are crime procedurals, which I also listen to. But this one is.
Really?
Yeah.
I
paint, and there's something about it that I really like.
They said, though investigators declined to elaborate on what the DNA evidence was or how it was obtained, they said it clearly linked him to the crimes. So
this is happening more and more and more, I think, to the good of society until you get somebody for whom it is not true.
And I
for
think,
whom it is false and it is demonstrably false.
And like Patton Oswalt's late wife, Michelle McNamara, had like devoted
a book.
Yeah, written a book and was like leading the charge.
I've heard of the Zodiac Killer. You know, I don't remember the Golden State Killer.
And he was also called the original Night Stalker, I think.
Yeah, I mean, California in the 70s was Zodiac Killer. You had the Golden State Killer. You had Patty Hearst. You had the SLA. What was happening in that state in the 70s was wild.
And so this guy has gone 40 years, minimum of 40 years, without being detected, and lived apparently in the same area for all that period of time.
Yeah.
And I guess the attacks stopped in the late 80s, they think. So, it's just, it's a horrifying crime.
And he'd move and something would crop up where he had moved to, but...
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's a far different story than the professional cuddler story that I hope you
and
get
thank
to.
You for leading me into that.
This is in the
yes.
Washington Post. How much are people... Could you explain what this... Because this is a growth industry.
And this is not cuddling. The Georgetown cuddler.
No, that is a criminal that the police have been seeking for years, I believe.
Well, maybe they'll catch this guy.
Somebody
now.
Who would break into houses and then women would wake up and he was just spooning with them. Is that yeah. is
maybe
that
he's
more
gone
less?
Clean well, now, now he can do it professionally. Yes, he's making yeah. money.
So well, he's week, got
like
bona fides.
He's got a resume.
Yes, he says, I've been doing this for years and now I can yeah. get 80 bucks
it's sort
an
of like
hour.
Like Uber driver.
Like opening a dispensary when you were a dealer.
Right, yeah. on the amateur circuit, yes. Once a week you can pay $80 to be held, stroked, and embraced for an hour in a non-sexual way. This is the newest profession.
Do you get a degree? I mean, how do you prove you're good at this?
Well, I think
cuddling.
Well, I would think that you might have to. Well, you've got to go through some form of training.
Really? Like the National Bartender Academy?
Well, I think it's more like the bar.
A criminal investigation. Yeah, sure, you haven't right. been arrested.
No, right. I think we take people's words for it. I think that'd be fine. The 2 year old website Cuddlist, which has trained around 400 professional True. Cuddlers, and connects clients to providers around the country. Is that most okay. clients are under some level of duress, anxiety, stress, loss, or need.
People, you get cannot, a big pillow, okay?
Let me say,
much easier.
You cannot read this story without cringing.
Yeah.
This is so icky.
For the average person,
cuddling.
You and me, we can be lonely and we can feel a need, but it's not starved kind of need. For a lot of them, this is a human connection that they've never had before. So
they've never had anyone cuddle them.
I guess that's what they're saying.
Are they mostly older people who get cuddled? Are they mostly
they
infirm?
They don't give a demographic.
Because I'm
male.
At that age where it'd be fine for me.
I actually think it's more people in my age group where they're putting off marriage and they're putting off serious relationships to pursue their professional interests.
And they need to be cuddled?
I think they need to be cuddled. They're anxious.
Does Chessie cuddle? Could we like take Chessie places and people could
Chessie bites
for 80 an hour?
No, Chessie herds. So she bites people's feet and
well, maybe
gets
like
them
that.
In line by yeah. biting their yeah. feet and dragging them around by their feet.
Get in line.
Yeah.
Jasmine Simon, age 37, who is a cuddler from Germantown, trained in L.A.
Of course.
Which is,
of course, yeah, trained
in L.A.
That's
where the best schools are.
Recently yeah. certified Cuddlist said there is a robust market in the D.C. metro area, from stressed out college students to lonely empty nesters. They are all over, all ethnicities.
How can you say when applying for a job or a driver's license, occupation, Cuddlist.
Well,
stop it.
Well,
I'm looking
stop
at the
it.
Question
Get
here.
Out of here.
To become a cuddlist, you must be willing to cuddle all genders. Is this something you agree to do? This is hard-hitting questions here.
What
it is entirely non-sexual, it should be pointed out, for anyone, lest there be any confusion about
you
it.
Have right.
to, you have to
In case
pay.
Anybody wants to right. rent an
you
office.
You have to pay to,
now,
do, to go
they,
through the question.
They do quote a couple of people who use the service. None of them, you know, have the real names. This is Gary.
They don't have the real names. What? What are their names?
This person just goes by Gary, a 40-something in the
Gary,
Washington, D.C. area.
Gary, a 40-something?
not my real name.
Do the math.
Says use the service every 3 months or so to relieve stress. He says the professional nature of the interaction makes him feel safe.
I would go by the Big Squish if I was a professional cuddler. That would be my
And then I've got
name.
Just one more story I want to give you, because we won't be here for Florida Man Friday, so I'm going to give you Texas Man Thursday. And this is something that the restaurant needs to keep his eye on. 53-year-old Gilberto Escamilla was sentenced last Friday after pleading guilty to theft by a public servant. He said they said he has sentenced him to 50 years in prison. 50, that's 5-0, for stealing $1.2 million worth of fajitas over a 9-year stretch. His scam was on. He'd been intercepting the feeders that he ordered through Cameron County Juvenile Center, where he worked, and was delivering to his own customers. His scam was uncovered
the
when he.
Fajita finagler.
Exactly, yes.
The fajita felon.
When he missed work for a medical appointment and an 800-pound fajita delivery arrived at the center that does not serve fajitas, and that's when it all unraveled. This is the lesson: don't go to the doctor.
Don't.
Always be there. So.
Fantastic.
50 years for that.
It's a lot. It's
a lot of theft.
Way too much. That's
like
way
it.
Too much. We will take a break. We will have Old Guy Radio with Chuck Todd when we return.
That's
on Tony
right.
Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. Would you explain the choice, please?
Yes, we're playing The Wait by the band because on this date, 40 years ago, the movie The Last Waltz premiered.
Martin Scorsese's documentary about the band with a whole bunch of people in it. Really good. It's a really good movie.
You know, it's not that great a movie, but it has great performances.
It has music.
That's my criticism music. Of it. It's
and
great
everybody,
music.
Everybody shows up to play at this.
Van Morrison.
But at least at the end of it, a rat doesn't run across the screen in case you failed to get the symbolism to that point. You know, that was in The Departed, right?
Yes, it was.
That was a little much.
Yes. In terms of critical commentary,
everybody hated Robbie Robertson. That's critical commentary.
Because I think he sort of signed something that he got the rights to all the music.
He was smarter than the other.
Yeah, right. Except he was the one that wasn't going down the heroin road as much as the others, too.
So. I know Levon Helm, I think, was particularly upset with him. We love Levon Helm because it's for nothing other than the role in The Right Stuff. We love him for that.
But Beamans? Want to stick a Beamans?
Exactly. But this was based on Robertson wrote this after his first trip to Memphis because he grew up in Canada.
Yes.
And so when he went to Memphis, that was like going to the Holy Land. And he had all these thoughts about all these things. And
Robbie Robertson is very, very front and center in the Elvis Presley documentary, The Seeker.
The characters that they mention are all based on real people. Anna Lee is based on Helm's longtime friend Anna Lee Amston. Carmen was from Helm's hometown, Turkey Scratch, Arkansas.
And that's Crazy, a great name.
Crazy Chester was an eccentric resident of Fayetteville, Arkansas, who apparently carried a cap gun. So
Turkey Scratch, Arkansas leads us, of course, to Chuck Todd, who I know has spent a lot of time in Turkey Scratch, Arkansas. Referred to by the president in a series of tweets as sleepy-eyed Chuck Todd. I know we've chatted about this before.
Yeah.
I'd like to feel it's a term of endearment, but I'm not. What do you make of this?
Well, you know, I've asked him in the past, where did he come up with this? I've asked his staff. His staff has asked him, and he doesn't remember. That's what he claims. He's claimed it to me. I have a theory that one day he's frustrated. He watches a lot of NBC. He's like you. He's a creature of habit.
That's
right. He watches a lot of NBC. I'm on the Today Show saying something he doesn't like, or Morning Joe, and he hits the pause button. And guess what happens when you hit the pause button sometimes on your DVR?
It distorts your face a little bit.
Exactly. Your eyes sort of get half closed, and he's sitting there scrambling. I got to come up with something, right? I gotta get rid of this Chuck guy. I got to disparage this guy. I know. I'll come up with something. Sleepy eyes. Whatever the heck that means. And he's done it. It's certainly what I always love is like when the Times or the Post writes about it, they always say memorable, but they'll say something like, if unclear why.
Right.
You know, sort of like, you know, not quite sure. Although our friends at the Washington Post were trying to look up to see if it was an anti-Semitic slur. And I was like, my mother believes everybody can be a little anti-Semitic sometimes. She's kind of like Uncle Leo in Seinfeld, you know. She's got that to her. And even she had not come up with that one.
I was told that in this room, in this podcast room the other day, I was told that, and I said, how? Tell me, what is the origin?
Right.
And I don't understand it at all.
I looked it up. There was in some Nazi propaganda in the 30s,
Trump would read all the time.
Yeah, you hope he's
at military school, I'm sure.
What's the more likely result? That Donald Trump spent years researching Third Reich propaganda. Or he hit the pause button on his DVR.
Yeah, I'm going to go the ladder on that one,
His executive time is spent reading.
What is so interesting about this is he comes up with nicknames for a lot of people, and you think, wow, this is either malicious or he wants nothing to do with them. And then he talks to them incessantly, you know, like he talks to Marco Rubio all the time. You know what I mean? It doesn't seem to matter. It's something where it seems like he says, yeah, that was fun, and now let's move on. But I'll just keep using it. You know, what do you think?
Well, I think there is a lesson here. Anybody that tries to do it, back at him or something, or if you try to, anytime you try to lower yourself or try to, you know, as Marco Rubio found out when he played with the hands and all of that stuff, or even Comey, you know, we hold everybody else to a higher bar than we do the president. That's what I think we've all found out, that we hold everybody else to a higher bar. By the way, yesterday I did get a Facebook post. I know you don't subscribe to the Facebook.
I do not subscribe.
I don't read the Facebook, but a producer said on the Facebook page, a woman wrote, "Dear Chuck Todd, this 80-year-old lady just wants to let you know that Trump has paid you quite a compliment. In my day, sleepy eyes were considered very sexy. So have a great day."
Oh, that's great.
Very reassuring.
Robert Mitchum struck me as sleepy eye.
Yeah, sure.
But that's
Robert Mitchum.
That's a long time ago. No, that's well. If it's a compliment, then that's. Then that's a good thing.
Even from an 80-year-old woman, it's,
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, no, that's my demographic. So I
was curious about this, having once been invited to a White House state dinner and reading year after year after year who gets invited. Most often, if not all the time, at least one working person, one working journalist gets invited. I don't think Rupert Murdoch qualifies as a working journalist. Were you surprised at all by the guest list and sort of how narrow it was to the recent dinner with the French president?
Well, I'm not surprised it was narrow. And I think that the president, he liked those things to him are very much rewards, and so he wasn't going to reward people. So, I mean, I'm not surprised, for instance, that he snubbed Nikki Haley. Now everybody else goes, can you believe he snubbed his ambassador to the UN? Yeah. Like, it's a state dinner, it's hosting, like, that you almost usually need your ambassador to the UN to be a table captain, right? You've been there.
Yes.
There's always sort of a,
yes,
a person at every table that's in charge of a table. You know, I got to go to one once, and I was at the Susan Rice table. She was national security advisor. So, you know, so it was surprising. So I'm not surprised that the president uses it retribution. I thought one of his Fox people, I thought he'd invite one of the Fox and Friends, you know, the Ducey or the Kilmeade guy or whatever, you know. I figured one of them. So I'm mildly surprised on that because he'd like to show that they do like to push back a little bit on this idea that they're totally antagonistic to the press. They're like, look at how well we treat Fox.
Yeah. Look at Sean Hannity. He's got the bat line. He's got the bat phone.
Exactly.
He can get right there. Are you going to the White House Correspondents' Dinner?
I am not. I work on Sundays, as you know.
Yes, I know.
And Saturday night. So I stopped going in 2015. So this is not a Trump thing or anything like this.
Right.
I stopped going when I got this gig. And let's just say I'm kind of glad I have an excuse. Is it wrong? That I'm sort of worn out from going.
No.
I miss wanting to have fun at one of those dinners. I missed going to those dinners, wanting to, when sitting at table 250, when you were 25 and just excited to be there and have a good time. Then like the older you get in Washington, the more cynical you get about it.
I know that's true. That's what, but I always tell the people at PTI, for example, if you get the opportunity, do go. Do go. I mean, it's just
100%
fun.
Go once.
Yeah.
Go everybody
once.
Should go once. It's fun.
Yeah.
And go twice. It's fun. But when it becomes, what I always say is, for me, it becomes a job, right? For some people, it's work. And for those, when you say to yourself, the last place you want to be on a Saturday night is the basement of the Hilton for your job, if that's your work. So that's all.
All right. The Ronny Jackson thing has broken. Ronny Jackson has withdrawn, I think.
Yes.
This thing drops at 11 Eastern and 8 Pacific. But you've had time to think about this.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone is surprised, right?
I'm not surprised. Can I just tell you, though, I'm a bit uncomfortable with how we learned all of these allegations. You know, this was new even for Trump's Washington, where every allegation was just sort of delivered. Well, this is what we've heard. And I had Senator Tester on my show yesterday. I even asked him, I said, have you had time to verify any of these? And he basically said, you know, we've just gotten so many of them. We felt like, let's put out in public and let the chips fall where they may. I just think it's another level of humiliation to somebody that we don't know. I mean, you know, right now he's being accused of being a pill popper, writing his own prescriptions, a drunk driver. I mean, some of these allegations, if true, he'd lose his medical license, never mind whether he's qualified to run a cabinet agency. And I just wonder, you know, when we're sitting here in the world of fake news, I mean, it was a shoot first, check later aspect when it came to these Jackson allegations.
This is so interesting to me.
And while he's withdrawn, we should point out, he maintains all of these allegations are false.
He can do that.
I know, and I'm just clarifying.
What you say is so interesting because I think the night before, I just landed, you know, going through the dial, I landed on Anderson Cooper. And Anderson, if Tester is the one who wears the thin ties and has the brush cut and looks like he could lose 50 pounds, and I think we're talking about the same guy, I watched Anderson, him say these things to Anderson Cooper, and I just stood watching saying, my God, well, what? This is a very important position. What do you mean? Well, we've heard this and we've heard that. I mean, the level of casualness to which a person's entire career was being dissected on television without what, certainly he didn't offer any particular proof of this. I was stunned. So your explanation is interesting that we've entered the Wild West in terms of the way people push back, right?
Yes, and I just wonder, what does this mean going forward? Look, we already have heard that there are plenty of people who say it isn't worth trying to go into the public sector because of just how just cutthroat, right, a confirmation process can be. Remember during the Obama years, there was a whole bunch of, like, they couldn't fill the Treasury Department, and Trump's got his own issues being able to fill some of these other departments. But people didn't want to go through the vetting process. People feel as if their reputations, even if you get confirmed, your reputation's in the dumper, you know, after all said and done. And if we do that, then we're only going to have the Blake Farenfolds of the world who want to actually show up and be in Congress or show. I mean, that's my fear, is that if you're wondering why we have a bunch of idiots sometimes as members of Congress, it's because the good people are smart enough to realize they're not going to put themselves through this.
No, it's and I mean, never I just goes
think
away.
What was done here? I mean, this guy's an admiral. You got to think, are we saying the military chain of command overlooked this guy's character for 20 years? I mean, maybe that's true, and maybe they did, but maybe you ought to do the investigation in private first before you put it all out in public.
Now, let me get to the important stuff now. Who do you like in the NBA?
Oh, well, I just, every time I get dragged into the Wizards, you know, my son really gets excited, and we're watching last night, and, you know, are they ever going to have a player that knows how to take over a fourth quarter? I mean, I go from that game, and you flip over, and you watch LeBron all by himself, and you're like, I guess we got game six. That's all we got. Yeah, it took forever. We get game six against the Celtics. You know, it's like Jason Worth. You know, game four win.
Yeah, it doesn't. You don't. It's not the closeout game. It's never the closeout game.
We force closeout games.
Is there
like the Redskins winning April?
Is there any? Is there any draft thing you're looking for?
If the Browns don't end up with Saquon Barkley, they're idiots. I just don't understand why, with all these quarterbacks, they don't guarantee Barkley. I would pick Barkley one. I know that's crazy. Everybody wants to do the quarterback. I'd pick Barkley one to guarantee I had a player that everybody will electrify the field on day one, and then take whatever quarterback's left at pick four.
Especially in a franchise that had Jim Brown, the greatest football player of all time, and has been waiting a very long time to have somebody who was a great running back, and that would.
You don't count Trent Richardson?
I don't, and I don't even count Ernest Biner. I mean, if Saquon Barkley can be that, and I don't, that doesn't mean he can be that guy. But I agree with you. I think you take him at one because you're not sold on a particular quarterback, and you take a quarterback at four because at least three of them will be left. It won't matter. You know.
What do you make of a high school Twitter feed becoming a problem for?
I just heard this. Gary just said this to me right before you got on. I was completely and utterly unaware of it. I don't know how far back the statute of limitations goes. If he's a junior or senior in high school, it's different than if he's in seventh or eighth grade. But why do people do this at all? Don't they understand it never goes away? It never goes away.
Well, why do they think what they think?
You know, so,
you know, I was just having a conversation with somebody else about this. What is going to be amnesty for the social media generation? Remember, there was a point with baby boomers where we finally decided, you know what, we can't use smoking pot as a reason why somebody can't get a job or can't run for office. And at some point, it's like we as a society finally said, you know what? There's just too many baby boomers who smoked weed, and if we make that, then forget it. You're never going to have anybody in any leadership.
Well,
position,
a guy right? lost the Supreme Court, Douglas Ginsburg.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I mean. So we decided, now, you know what? We're going to be okay with that. The social media generation, what is going to be when are we going to decide, okay, up to age 18, 17, you know what I mean? We haven't figured out what our amnesty is. We decided that on pot as a society. I don't think we have figured this out yet.
In terms of how long you're allowed to be stupid online, give you a pass?
If there's a two in front of it, no.
It's okay to smoke weed in your 20s, right? We decided somewhere in college was okay.
Yeah.
Right? After that, then, you know, you know, and maybe the line keeps moving north as pot gets more legal. What is that line for social media?
That's interesting. That's a good topic. I think I'll steal that for a show next week. Thank you, Chuck. Talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
Chuck Todd, the host of Meet the Press on Sundays and the host of Meet the Press every day.
Meet the Press daily.
Yeah,
daily.
On MSNBC.
Not on Mondays, but most other days.
Well, that's why it's
dark
daily.
On Monday, just like the Broadway theater.
No, well, Katie Turr fills in. I'm an MSNBC person. Katie Turr usually fills in for him on Monday.
Oh.
So
I got, well, we'll go to you with all of our MSNBC questions.
Good. I got this covered.
All right, we will come back with an email and with one jingle and a bunch of email when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's a Thursday. What you got? But I still got a yak, though. Yeah, about what? See, I got a podcast for me and my friends. All I do is yodel now since I put down my pen. Nope, I don't write. I ain't got a collar. Wanna make you laugh? Don't you be so solemn. Load this pod, pal. Get it? Ain't got no Instagram and no Twitter. Hot takes like, whoa, wait a minute. That old movie, who was in it? Calling old writers up. Chat them up. That's work. Tone's got permanent attitude. I'm never gonna relax. Let me ask, do you know who I am? Never gonna be laid back. Sponsors help, they tell me how to do that. Read. Tell me how to do that. Read. Tell me how to do that. Read.
Ow! This is John Fitzpatrick channeling Bruno Mars as he channels James Brown. John Fitzpatrick.
That's good.
Very, very Bruno Mars.
Fantastic.
Yes. Before we get to the mailbag, let me say thank you to Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report and to Chuck Todd of Meet the Press for coming on. Let me thank the sponsors from today, Blue Apron and Sonos. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. From Marcus in Phoenix, Arizona, listening to Tony describe his Sunday night of kicking everyone out made me laugh because it reminded me of my dad whenever he has people over. He has a specific time in his head as to when everyone needs to leave. No matter how much fun everyone is having, at the designated time, the vacuum comes out and he will literally open the front door. He doesn't say for everyone to get out. Our guests understand. I used to think it was obnoxious, but as I get older, I understand. It's time for you all to go home. I stand up and say, it's been nice. I'm kicking you out
now.
Well,
why don't you just go upstairs and let them stay?
I don't know. I've never thought of that.
I hadn't considered that.
I like the finality of kicking everybody out. From Steve Rapolo, it now is clear that my best chance of having an email make the cut is to send you a particularly bland group text, since this appears to be where the show is heading. I'm going through our greatest hits, and I am torn between the exchange about which beers suck and who is coming to our 35th high school reunion. Unfortunately, neither one includes Sands. From Joseph Lima in Pasadena, California. So I'm listening to the podcast, and Tori happens to say Pablo Torre will be her future trophy husband. Wouldn't that make her Tori?
Ooh. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Hadn't thought of that. Yes. Mike from Burke, Virginia. So you say Bomani and Pablo will take over PTI when you're done? Would that be next week or the week after? By Memorial Day for sure, right? Yes, I would certainly think so. From Cheeve in Somerville, Massachusetts, my colleague and I would love to record our podcast at Chatter, and we easily have 10 to 12 episodes in us, but we're only interested if we can use that polka playing greeting card. Oh. Wasn't that wild?
It was great.
And how about Howard kept
turning his microphone
Turning his microphone off. Yes. He was doing it.
Yes, he was.
Well, and then he got angry.
The arm of the chair, if you're not careful, the way it swings around can turn off.
From Neil in Rockville, I was wondering where your allegiances would lie if the book release party for Simon the Sea Cat were catered by the Palm but hosted at Politics and Prose.
I will not be doing anything in Politics and Prose.
I'd be fine. It would be fine. Ryan from Mercer, Pennsylvania. I'm glad to see that the heir apparent to the leaf blower for ambient noise will go to the birthday card that plays the chicken dance song. Hampton Nager writes, here are two Howard Feynman quotes from yesterday. Ask yourself which one should get a greeting card chicken dance as background music. I brought Michael Douglas, the hottest star of the day, and people were climbing over tables and chairs to meet him. Or Kirk Douglas had his bar mitzvah when he was 90. The answer is they both do. Still waiting for my invitation, Howard. I am Hampton Nager in Dallas, Texas. And P.S., go back and read those quotes in your best imitation of Dick Vitale and tell me it doesn't sound absolutely
Howard, by the way, will be watching the Pens game with Pittsburgh royalty in the in the box.
The owner,
the owner's box with Mario.
Yeah. And that's what you should do.
He was talking.
Does
trash
that drive Sans crazy?
Yeah. He was talking trash to Sans.
Sans had like 87 emails.
Texts.
Same thing, Gina.
Josh Cromwell, Moselle, Mississippi. I heard that Bruce Allen says he really enjoys watching Kirk Douglas movies in his spare time. Mark Corriere in Ellicott City, Maryland. Listening to Wednesday's podcast, it was great to hear you gush about Pablo Torre. You had so many kind things to say about him. I kept listening for you to say Pablo is like the son I never had. On an unrelated note, I'm interested in a Tell Michael umbrella. Pablo has apparently said to me that he has taken the chatter shirt and he has put that all over social media.
That's fantastic.
So
tremendous.
Once again,
reaping the benefit here this
morning. Once again, what's going to happen is the people that I really like doing PTI with, Pablo will never do it again because he'll have his own show in New York.
Right.
Keith will never do it again because Keith will have his own show in New York. And I don't know who I'm going to do it with because I don't like to do it split screen. I don't even, Mike's been away for a week and a half. I don't even. Yeah.
Well, they need him on the.
Get one of the Cuddlers to come in.
Oh, yes.
That's a great idea.
And we're joined today by Cuddlist.
Yes.
And, you know, give a name like that.
Yeah, it would be
not
fantastic.
To be confused with Larry Kudlow, who is.
The Cuddler.
Yeah, who's the Cuddler.
The Cudmeister.
You know.
Yes.
From Douglas Bevan or Bevan in Adrian, Michigan. What's Phil's mom's mock draft? This should be a thing. She doesn't know how many teams are in the league. I mean,
That would be tough.
Should we call Phil's mom next time there's a draft?
Sure.
Come into Chatter and eat and drink, please. We're full service for profit. If you're out on your bike tonight, everybody, as always, do wear white.
What a waste of time.
Take me to the bar. Would you walk me next to you and keep me safe from all the cars and all the other dogs out there that want to cause me so much harm? Calling me back, oh.
it's screwed up to mine. Trading this life for Virginia.